Good morning. How are you doing today? By the way, welcome to the church. We are really happy that you are here with us today and worshiping in this Saturday, this Sabbath, I should say, because I had a bad custom to say Saturday until one of my elders started correcting me. It's not Saturday, Pastor, it's Sabbath. And so I had to get into the good habit. But yes, we are really happy that you are here, and may the Lord bless you today, and that the worship today can be a good experience for you. I remember many years ago, probably at the age of 9 or 10, it was before my first communion. You know, as I mentioned before, I used to be Catholic in my family. So it was before my first communion, and it was near December. At that time, the students were on vacation time. So my father talked to a good friend of our family, who used to have a bakery, a beautiful bakery, different kind of bread, delicious desserts, and all these kind of goodies that they would sell in there. And I don't know how he did it, but he asked this man for a job for me, and he convinced him to give me a job. And when I present to the bakery, they ask me, "How old are you?" So I say, "I'm 12." You know, I was 9, I was 9, you know, but I won my job. So I was thinking that I will deceive these people. So the guy looked at me, and okay, he gave me a chance. And I remember that my first assignment was to grab blocks of bread and put it in the machine who cut the bread in slices. And you had to do it in a careful way. When at the end of the machine, you grab the bread, twist it, put the plastic back, and wrap it up, you know. So I thought it was easy until I start messing up the bread, you know, and pieces of bread were flying here and there. So then later trying to put everything together, and it was all crooked, and they noticed that I struggled there, but they leave me there. Nobody said anything. So after a few hours of being there, they finally moved me to another section. Say, "No, you need to pack this kind of bread. It's easier for you." So I go there and I start packing there, and I messed up also. So then later they moved me to another section where I was supposed to wash glasses. You know, so I thought maybe if I put only water and I leave it there, they will notice. And they do. They notice. How do you notice when somebody having washed a glass? Well, if you use a glass and you pour any cold beverage in there and you just only put water and let it, rinse, inside of the glass you will get moisture. And when the glass is clean, because you put soap, you put your hand and clean the glass inside and you let it dry there, it doesn't get the moisture. So the owner knew that some of these glasses had soap and others didn't have soap. So he said, "No, that's the wrong way to do it. You are supposed to grab the glass, put the sponge inside, and clean it really well so people can use this glass safely, you know. I don't think you will mind if you go to a bakery and ask for a beverage that in a glass that somebody had used before, right? It doesn't bother me. I don't know if it will bother you." But it was interesting. Well, I spent a few days working in this place until the gentleman one day finally called me and talked to me. Say, "Listen, thank you for being here. We really appreciate your services, but we don't no longer need you here." "Oh, well, thank you," you know, and I go home a little sad and depressed. I was fired from my first job. So that was a very interesting experience for me. Have you ever been fired from a job? That happened to you? You remember your first job? I was talking the other day to my previous church in North Augusta, and they know where I'm going, but I need to ask you this. You remember the first job that you did? What you did, Brian? Oh, since the beginning. Oh, good for you. It's like a very good job, plumbing and electrical. What about you, Karen? What was your first job? It was yesterday. Babysitting? All right. Mike, do you remember your first job?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Working on a farm. How much they paid you there an hour?
A dollar
an hour? Well, that's a lot of money. Yeah. Well, the best part of job or working is that when you get your salary, right? You feel like, wow, I have a lot of money, and you get all excited. And we all like to get some money. Today, I want to talk to you something in reference to money. And be safe and peace. Nobody's asking you for money or anything. It just happened that the Bible mentioned the subject of money in many, many occasions, in many, many times. And in this time, it had to do with something with money. So please open your Bibles in the book of Matthew, chapter 19. We need to go there. Matthew 19. And actually, there are two stories, and they are connected. And you probably know the stories. One of the stories is about a man that is a younger person who happened to have money. And the other story had to do with employees that they get hired to do certain jobs, certain work. So please, in your Bibles in Matthew 19, if you open your scripture with me, let's read here in Matthew 19, verse 16. Now, behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing should I do that I may inherit, or I may have eternal life?" Some versions say inherit. So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." So what was the question? Right, what I need to do to enter in heaven, right? Or to get a reward, or whatever God is supposed to give in us. Have you ever think about that? What do you need to do? What you can do that you can accomplish that? Well, you can say that from the Christian perspective, right? Because we know that salvation is by what? It's by grace. So it's nothing that you can do or add to that that will allow you to enter into heaven. However, in some religions and even some Christians think that if you do something, you can help in the process, right? Even us, in occasions, we think that we can do something to help God, to help us into enter into heaven. Do you think that you deserve to be in heaven? That's my second question to you. Do you consider yourself a good person? A good, moral, standing person. You don't harm anyone. You don't gossip. You never cut lines in the Walmart or anything like that. You know? Always put the right coins in the laundry, you know, the quarters and everything. Are you a good person? Do you consider yourself a good person? Well, most of the times we say we are fair. No, right? We have some issues that we struggle, that we don't like to talk about it. But the second question is, can you enter, do you deserve to enter into heaven? And the honest answer maybe is, no, I don't feel that I'm that good, you know. If you talk to somebody that is Catholic, they will tell you, well, you had three choices. If you are really good, you will go into what? Heaven. If you are really bad, you will go where? Hell, directly, right? But if you are middle ground, like the majority of the people, well, where you will go? Purgatory. And there, they will work in you for a few millennia, I don't know, centuries, and help you to get clean, and finally you will make it through heaven, right? But that's not what the scriptures say. And the question here is a simple question. Can you do something to receive the eternal reward? And Jesus is saying, yes, you can do something, right? What you can do? Is that a correct answer? Why not? Because it's more than that, right? I mean, the commandments are... What are the commandments, by the way? Where do you find the commandments? Yeah, for me, that was a surprise. You know, like, what? Is it something about the Sabbath in the commandments? I didn't know about that. You know, it took me years. I was almost 20 years when I finally realized that the Bible mentioned the Ten Commandments, right? It's found in Exodus. I didn't know about that. And probably you don't know about that. Some people have been arguing about the Ten Commandments lately, right? That they are very important, that we should keep the Ten Commandments. But the majority of the people, they don't even remember the Ten Commandments. They don't even know it, right? I will do an exam here, a very easy one. Right, I'm pretty sure that you know this. What is the fourth commandment? Oh, the Sabbath. You see, I'm talking to Seventh-day Adventist people. They know that commandment. What about the nine? What is the ninth commandment? You shall la 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 la. What? It had to do something with gossiping and rumoring? Talking bad, being a false witness, right? So you see, if you don't know what you are supposed to keep in the first place, how you will keep it? Well, Jesus is telling this young person, yes, you can do something if you want to enter in heaven. But the answer was kind of like a partial answer. Because in reality, in the Scripture, the Bible tells you that although it's important to keep the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments cannot save you. You know, keeping the law won't allow you to enter heaven directly. You need more than that, Gabriela. Very good. If you try to keep the Ten Commandments, eventually you will get frustrated because you will realize, I can't do it, right? You will continue breaking the... We do every day. We break the Ten Commandments. You know, one or two different commandments. Well, Jesus is telling this young person, keep the commandments. Let's continue reading because the story is now switching to something interesting here. And he said to him, what do you call me good? Let's go to verse 18. And he said to him, which ones, you know? And Jesus said, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the last one, actually, you don't find it in the Ten Commandments. This is something that Jesus has mentioned as a kind of like a compilation of all the commandments, right? If you love people, you won't hurt them, you won't do anything bad to them. So that's pretty much what Jesus is trying to say to this person. So the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth, what I still lack, or what is missing in my life. Right? So he knew that something was what? How you ever feel like that? You go to church, you sing, you pray, you're a good person, you are a morally good standing Christian, but something is still missing there. Humility, well, can't be that. But it's more than that. Well, in this case, it's humility that you are right. Because this young person is making a rhetorical question to Jesus. He is pretty much standing right there doing this very important description there in front of the Lord. But he was expecting Jesus to say to him, listen, Lee, you are such a good guy. And I had to tell this in front of all these witnesses, but man, you don't need to do anything else. You are ready for heaven. You deserve it. That's what this young person was expecting to hear from Jesus, right? Claudette, you are the one. The winds are coming out of you. You know, you all smell like cookie dough. I don't know, something delicious. You are such a good person that you deserve to be in heaven, right? But instead of saying that, Jesus is telling him, no, you need to do the commandments. So he goes back and says, I've been doing this since I remember. But I still feeling that something is missing. What is what I'm missing? And then Jesus go to the real problem that this person had, right? And this is something interesting because it has been interpreted in many ways. So let's go back to the scripture. The Bible mentioned here, after he continued asking what I still lack, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, this is a beautiful thing right there. Because if you pay attention in the Gospels, Jesus didn't call a lot of people to follow him. And this is one of the guys that he's calling him. So Jesus saw a lot of potential in this person, right? Something good was in this man that it was important for him to follow Jesus. But also, he have a problem. He was very rich. He enjoyed money. He liked money. And because he loved so much money, he was making money an idol. Right? Do you like money? Are you sure about that? We all work for money, right? You need money to survive every day, to pay your bills. In occasions, we need more money, right? But it's our necessity to ask God for the resources that we need. But in this case, this man had plenty of money. He was a very rich person. And because he was so much entangled with all this money, and remember, money gives you a false sense of security and empowerment, and you start mistreating people, right? Like somebody was doing in the news the other day, I'm the most rich person in America, right? Like, maybe he is, I don't know. And you know who I'm referring, but I can't mention anything else because IRS issues here. So I cannot get into politics. But, you know, some people like to brag about how much money they have, and good for them. You know, the Lord has blessed you. Good for you. You know, we should feel happy for them, right? But it's money all that you need in life. And this young man, it wasn't enough. Still being rich, still being connected in church, still being a good moral standing person, and something was missing. And he knew it. It's kind of like that boy that you have in your soul. And Jesus is trying to help him to realize that because he has so much attachment to this money, that he's putting God in the second place. And that's the reason for this drastic remedy, right? The prescription requires to give everything out so he can be free from that demon and then be able to follow Jesus and be able to do good. Now, if you know the story, you will find out that the young man left there sad. He didn't follow Jesus, right? Why? He didn't want to give out his money, right? Yeah, I deserve this money. I just went really close to retirement. This is mine. You know, belongs to me. Why I want to give it back to God? You know, a lot of people think like that. It's your money. You want to do whatever you want with that. And so when you and I, we start talking like that, we are really appealing to our selfish nature, right? So the problem, if we can summarize it for this young person, is that he was selfish. This person was a very selfish person. Yes. Very good. If you go to a more deep meaning, you will find in a scripture that the Bible says that everything belongs to God. Right? And if we are honest, we need to realize that in reality, everything belongs to God, because if you are alive here, it's because God gave you one more day. In fact, 2 days ago, I get a call. A good friend of mine lost a battle against cancer, and he passed. You know, today they are doing the funeral at night time. And I feel really sad, you know, because we don't want to die. We want to continue being alive. And the fact that you are alive here is a blessing, you know, that you are healthy, or almost healthy, or whatever the case is. And, you know, we need to be grateful, right? Because we had a tendency to focus on the bad things and then ignoring the good things. But in this young man case, he was so focused on money that he decided, you know what, doesn't matter how important is this preacher, I don't want to give up my money, just rather be in my own. So the disciples get puzzled, they get amazed, they get flabbergasted, right? They say, wow, how is that possible that this person is not following Jesus? Why? Simple reasoning. Because they thought the richer you are is because the closer you are to God. The poor you are, it's not such a thing like a poor, right? Sorry, English, my second language. The poor you are, the more far away you are from God. So the more money you have, meaning that you have more blessings, that God is protecting you, the less amount of resources that you have, God doesn't care for you. If you are sick, it's because you deserve it, something that you did wrong and God is punishing you. If you are healthy, it's because God loves you and you are a good person. So you made that connection. A lot of people think that way, right? Prosperity means God loves you. Distress and difficult situations means God hates you. Is that true? No, it's just a nonsense reasoning. But at that time, the disciples think that way. And Jesus started explaining them, listen, it's not about money. Because it is impossible for a rich person to enter in heaven. Right? And Jesus used an exaggeration and a hyperbole. Let's go read it together here, because it's a very interesting story here. The other day, somebody mentioned, I will explain it to you in a second. And let's go to verse 24. And again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So what is Jesus saying here? That it's impossible for a person who had money to enter in heaven just because you had money, right? You cannot purchase your entrance in heaven. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It is impossible. It's not like it's difficult. And this is the argument that a member of the church was mentioned to me. Pastor, some scholars mentioned that in Jerusalem, they used to have a small door. Had you guys heard the story? By the way, that's a legend. It's an awesome story, but it's not true. They used to have a small door, and when travelers come at night time, the doors were closed, and the only way to enter the city was through this small door. So if you have a camel full of loads, you need to unload your camel and push your camel through this little door and you get into the city. It is a very difficult and hard work, but you can do it. No, this is not what Jesus is calling. You know, what Jesus is saying here, it is, you have a needle, tiny needle, and you have a camel, huge animal. It will never pass through the eye of the needle, ever. You know, Jesus is presenting something that is humanly impossible. It's just simple. Right? That, because the entering heaven is not about money. It's about what? It's about relationship with God. It's about grace. Right? So the disciples are a little sad and they start questioning Jesus and saying, listen, Lord, we abandoned everything before we joined you. What is our payment? And Jesus, again, he's making another example. He's saying, whatever you left when you enter into the kingdom of heaven, you will receive 100 times more, right? So if you abandon your mother, how many mothers you will have in the kingdom of heaven? 100, right? No, it's an exaggeration. Jesus is explaining today to you and to me, it doesn't matter what you abandon to follow Jesus, the reward of heaven is better than whatever you are leaving here behind. You get it? It's not about the quantity, it's about the difference. It's no comparison between heaven and earth. You know, whatever is in there is much better than whatever you are leaving here. It's no comparation. Now, the following story, and we need to enter in this because they are connected. It had to do with a man who is employing people for working, you know, for him. And let's read the story together. It's in chapter 20, and it is connected with the previous story. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he agreed to pay them a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went at about a third hour and saw another standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into my vineyard, and whatever is right I will give to you. So they went. And again he went about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, why have you been standing idle all day? And they say to him, because no one had hired us. And he said to them, you also go into my vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So it's a simple story. And the story is about this person who have a property, go at 6 o'clock in the morning, hire laborers, then come back at 8 o'clock in the morning, hire more people. The first people in the morning, they promised them a denarius. At the second people, they didn't promise anything. He said, I will pay you whatever is fair. Then he come back at 12 and hire more people. He come back at 3 p.m. and hire more people. He come back later at 5 p.m. and they work only until 6 p.m. So the last people only work for an hour. And, you know, payment comes because the day was finished. So he called his steward and said, listen, pay these people. They need to go home. And he called the last ones and paid in how much? You know the story, right? They paid the same amount that paid the people who hired at 6 a.m. in the morning. So the ones at 6 a.m. in the morning, they start imagining that they will get more money, right? Why? They were longer, hard, and this man seems so generous that if they give to this who work only an hour at denarius, maybe he will give us 10 or more. And when they receive their salary, what was their payment? And they get upset, right? Why? Because they consider that it's not fair to receive the same salary that the people who work only an hour. It is unfair. What do you think? You think it's not fair? It is fair? In human terms, it's not fair, right? If you go to a Department of Labor and complain, they will listen to you, right? You know. Why they are getting angry? Because they feel that they are being cheated, right? So the accusation against the landowner is that he is a deceitful person. That's the main accusation, pretty much. So the landowner is representing whom? God in the story. And who are the workers? We are the workers, right? We, the people who joined the church and trying to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So some people have been in this church since centuries, right? They know Ellen White. They help her to build the first church right there in Illinois, or whatever the first church was placed in New York. They know Brother James, and they opened the first library and printing. Their fathers had been pastors, and their father was another pastor, and they are pastors of pastors, you know, like they have been in the church forever in different leadership positions and very important people. Have you met anyone like that? And they start telling you about your pedigree, right? As a Seventh-day Adventist pedigree. You know, I've been vegetarian for 7 generations. Ever drink anything than soy milk? You know, hey, that's good, man. You're super healthy. Great for you. But you see, it's not about the time that you spend at church. It's not the amount of work that you do. It's about what? It's about the relationship that you have with the owner of the farm and whatever he wants to pay you. And good news, the payment is what? It is the same. It doesn't matter if you stay in the church 50 years or only one day. Because heaven is the same for everybody. It's not like they have categories in there for one people and other people. You know, everybody will receive the same payment. So that's the illustration that Jesus is trying to present. It's not about effort. It's not about human ability. It's about the generosity of God. God will give you what you really deserve. What is fair. That what Robert was mentioning is correct. God is fair. Right? It's about grace again. So when people complain about what we deserve, and the only thing that the Bible mentioned about payment and salary, I was mentioned the other day, is found in Romans 6:23. Right? But the wages of sin is what? It's not another verse to say, but the wages of salvation is this or that. It's in reference to sin. And it's in connected with what? With death. It's finally a verse that you find in 1 John, and I want you to read with me this one, because I think I have an important message. It's 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. This is what the Bible says in reference to Jesus and how he treated us, right? Verse 8, and this is for you and for me, and pay attention to this part, it's important. If we say that we don't have sin, what happened? You deceive yourself, you know, you are oblivious to your condition, and the truth is knowing what? In us. And so not only you are deceiving yourself, you are a liar. Now, if you continue verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. Who is he? Jesus, God, right? He is faithful. And what else? To forgive us, and just to forgive us our sins, and what else? And to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So it's like a bifold process, right? God not only forgive me or forgive you, it's more than forgiveness. Because some people kind of like emphasize in that, right? Oh, God can forgive you. You just continue doing whatever you are doing. He will forgive you. You know, God doesn't judge anyone. He's love. You know. But it's more than forgiveness. You know, forgiveness without any help is just entitlement, right? God will empower you to continue sinning if he doesn't help you to get rid of sin. So what the Bible is saying, he not only forgive you or forgive me, but he also had the power to cleanse me, right? To help you to get rid of sin, which is our problem. And that's a beautiful promise right there that I want you to keep in your heart. Now, I'm probably, you had the same issue that I do in occasions. Have you struggled ever with your salvation? Have you ever think about, is all this worth it? Because some of us have think about that, right? Why is the meaning to going to church and to sing and to do this and to do that? Why? Well, it's a simple answer, right, for that question. Because God has something special for us. His reward is exceedingly good for you and for me. He wants to spend time with you and with me, right? It's not about the money. It's not about all the treasure. It's just more about spending time together with God for eternity. And so for me, when you think about heaven, it's just having the opportunity to be able to see God, to talk to God. Right? To be able to enjoy his company. So may God continue helping you in your journey. I know we struggle in our journey in many cases. But if you had issues, remember, you can go and confess your sins to Christ. Even when you don't have the desire to confess, right? You go and talk to Him. He will help you out. Not only God will help us out, but He promised us that He will empower us to get rid of sin. Amen? So may God continue blessing you during this week.